Good morning, everybody. My name is Pat Doyle. I'm the president of the Irish Council for Social Housing. You're very, very welcome to this morning's webinar, which gives us the findings of our latest tenants satisfaction survey across the Irish Council Social Housing. This has been a year like no other across Ireland, across Europe, and indeed across the world with COVID-19. And yet the work of the Irish Council for Social Housing has gone on. We have delivered more units than ever before. We have gained additional members to the Irish Council for Social Housing in 2020. And all of this has been done under a backdrop of COVID-19. This is our last big public event of the year. We had a very successful online conference early in the year that went ahead despite COVID. Approved housing bodies, the length and breadth of the country, have been developing units, are being supported by the Irish Council for Social Housing to do that. And to do that because it's all about giving people the key to the door. It's all about ensuring that we can provide really good quality accommodation for those who need it. And the tenancy satisfaction survey, the latest tenancy satisfaction survey that the council has developed, really, it just gives a voice to our tenants to let us know how they feel about what it is we do, how we operate, how we perform. We say to our approved housing bodies, it's a free evaluation, really. It's a free evaluation to hear back from our tenants to see what it is they think of the service that we provide and how, where possible, we can improve us. So we're delighted to have been able to carry this out in 2020. We're delighted with the support of all the approved housing bodies who put forward tenants, to take part. But most importantly, we're thankful to all the voices, all the tenants who gave their voice, gave their feedback to help us compile this survey. Our programme this morning is an hour long. I'm going to be very clear on that. So I'm going to keep people as tight as I possibly can. We're joined by our CEO of the Irish Council for Social Housing and by one of our members of staff here, Keenan. Keenan has been with the organisation, the Irish Council, for a number of years now. She has been involved in a number of key areas of development across the Irish Council for Social Housing. She was our data protection coordinator when we introduced the new legislation here in Ireland a number of years ago now, and she's overseen the work we've done today. So Keenan, thank you for all the work you've done on the survey. We have two presentations. One this morning comes from Sean. Sean works for Spark Research. They were the agency that was co-opted by the Irish Council for Social Housing to run this survey on our behalf. We're joined by a number of tenants from our providers, our approved housing bodies. We've got Tony and Claire here who are on your screen. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Claire, for giving up your time and for sharing your insights with us. We deeply appreciate it. As far as I'm concerned, and as far as we're all concerned, it's all about the key to the door. It's all about our tenants. If we lose sight of that, we might as well pack up and go home. So I want to thank you for giving up your time today. And we're also joined by Barbara Steenenbergen. Now, I'm going to apologise in advance if I mispronounced her name, but I'm trying my best. Barbara has a huge resume, and I'll tell you about that later in the day. And Barbara joins us from Europe, from Brussels. And we're delighted to have an international element to our webinar today. So that's the kind of the running order. And then there will be questions to any of our panelists from our participants, if they so wish to put questions. I have a few questions myself too, because we're an approved housing body who is all the time in the Peter McFerrin Trust trying to do our level best for our tenants. And we have much to learn. So I'll be keen to hear particularly from Tony and Claire today. So I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank our panelists. And without further ado, we'll move on. Our first presentation comes from Sean Gleeson. Sean Gildee. And Sean comes from Spark Research. Sean, I want to thank you in advance for putting this together. We're obviously delighted with the findings, but we couldn't have done this without you and your organization. So it's over to you to share the findings with our participants. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thanks, Pat, for the introduction there. I'd also like to thank Keelan and Kevin and also Catherine, who I worked with on this project as well. So just to give you a quick introduction to myself, my name is Sean Gilday. I work for Spark Research. We're a full research agency. So we work for organizations across a wide variety of different sectors. However, since our foundation, we have developed expertise in terms of carrying out research on behalf of tenant housing associations and just discovering and uncovering the tenant experience. So first, just to look at a bit of background to the research. So back in 2017, we would have worked with ICSH to conduct the first ever sector-wide tenant experience survey. So we wanted to reassess how things have changed since then. And we have in October 2020, we conducted a similar survey where we wanted to understand the tenant experience during this challenging year. More specifically, we wanted to gauge satisfaction levels amongst tenants. We wanted to assess the quality of housing services and supports. We wanted to explore the impact COVID-19 has been having on the tenant experience. And then we also wanted to see how things have changed since 2017, and also how do they compare against international tenant experiences. So the interview lasted about 15 minutes each interview, and we conducted it with 504 tenants living in social housing, and the interviews were taking place over the phone, and we received a huge amount of interest in the participating in the research. So amongst the 19 leads that we received from ICSH, we got a completion rate, a really strong completion rate of about 83% amongst those that answered the phone. So this is a really, really good response rate. It just shows that tenants really do want to voice their opinion and give feedback. So just looking at the sample in a little bit more detail now. So we spoke to tenants from a wide range of housing associations, so 16 in total. In terms of the regional breakdown, the majority came from Dublin and the rest of Leinster. And there was a slight skew towards females at 63% of the total sample. And there was a slight skew also to those older than 31. In terms of the length of residency of those included in the survey, we got about 11% that were just in the door. So 11% were there for less than a year. And then the majority were there for a bit longer, over 1 to 3 years. So just getting into the main findings now, and this section is on general satisfaction and priorities for tenants. So it was great news. Satisfaction was up 8% to 90% since 2017. So there was a great, a big and significant improvement there, and very much in terms of those that are very satisfied. So at the bottom, bar chart there, you can see 69% are very satisfied, and this has increased from 46% in 2017. And then on the right hand side of the slide here, we're comparing ourselves to other housing associations across Europe and further afield, and ICSH are top of class here, so just ahead of Glasgow Housing Association on 88%. So it just for context, it is a really high score in terms of satisfaction. So on this slide, we're looking at what are the most important services and the priorities for tenants. And the top two priorities and important services is providing good quality housing on top, and then efficient repair services as well. So these were very much in line with 2017's data. just slightly down. And probably the biggest one that we've seen a decline in is 58% considering community development and social activities as important. However, this isn't particularly a big surprise considering that COVID will impact the people's chances to socially interact and for these social activities. So people aren't less, it's less important seeing that they could potentially risk their health in engaging in these activities. So on this slide, we're looking at satisfaction with housing association performance. And just to explain the chart slightly, the orange bar charts here, this reflects the 2020 data, and in purple, it's the 2017 data. And you can see we're getting, tenants are quite satisfied across all these metrics here, particularly in relation to performance of housing staff. General communication with tenants is strong. Repairs is at 80%, all quite strong. And we did see a bit of a decline when it came to in dealing with antisocial behavior. So this has dropped by 15% from 2017. When we're looking at this data in more detail, you can see in some of the verbatim that we received that people are looking for tougher action to be taken in relation to people that are causing antisocial behavior. So this would be the one area that perhaps needs a little bit of improvement. It's also important to note that this survey took place during October, and we're in, just in the middle of the pandemic, and a lot of people were working from home. A lot of people were spending more time at home. So they're perhaps noticing more things that, during the day that they perhaps wouldn't have noticed generally when they're out and about or at work. And this could be, for instance, noticing a neighbor is blaring music at 11 a.m. every morning, that type of thing. So there are just things that are quite nuanced considering that we did do the research during COVID. So here we're looking at where we can, what improvements can be made. And just to say at the start, when we asked this question, 68%, so nearly 7 in 10 tenants could not think of any improvements that could be made. So that's really positive. So here I looked at grouping them into a few different themes that emerged in the open-end questions. The first one being repairs and maintenance. So very much people wanted to, just in terms of when things are going to be done, just a bit of clarity on that. The upkeep and facilities, these are more specific responses here in relation to their own locality, just making sure everything is dealt with. And then just in general communication, there's always improvements that can be made in this area of communication. So now moving on to contact and consultation. So we asked the question, what do you usually contact your housing association about? And for the vast majority, 8 in 10 usually contact their housing association in relation to repairs. So this is the main issue that people contact their housing association about. And of those that contacted their housing association, 84% were satisfied with the contact they have had with their housing association. So this again is another improvement on the 2017 data, which is up from 76%. Of those that are dissatisfied, it was just 5%, which was 25 people, and the lack of communication, just more clarity in a communication is what they were. Well, it's the reason for why they were dissatisfied. So again, just more clarity is needed in terms of communication. So just focusing on the left-hand side here of the graph first. So 91% of tenants feel they are kept informed by their housing association. So we've seen a massive increase here, so up from 73% in 2017. So this is a really big improvement here. We asked the question, has your feedback you have provided been taken on board? And again, we've seen a massive improvement here. So it's 52%, just over half, saying, yes, my feedback was taken on board. So massive improvement made there. However, we still have 10% saying I gave feedback, but it was not taken on board. So still, there is improvements that can be made. And just on the right-hand side here, 91% of those that gave feedback were satisfied with the outcome. This, again, is an improvement on 2017. So out of all the areas of improvement, I think one of the key areas that housing associations have improved on is in relation to communication. So here we're looking at whether or not people want to more opportunities to voice their opinion just have their, voice their opinion in relation to ways of getting involved and what changes that they would like to be made. So 22%, one in five would like to have more, to be more involved in how their landlord manages housing in their area. And specifically what they want to say more about, the big issue being antisocial behaviour. However, as you can see in this word cloud here, there are quite a variety of different issues that people do want to chat about and do want to voice their opinion on. In terms of where they want to say more, it's meetings, 55%, that's the most popular sort of channel. However, it's important to give a variety of different ways. You can see there's quite an interest in all four of these methods. I guess it depends on the sensitivity of the issue at hand. So it is important to give your tenants quite a wide variety of ways to get involved, depending on the sensitivity, and they may choose one or the other. So now moving on to housing and local area issues. So, and looking at costs of heating and energy efficiency. So 78% say their heating is affordable. This is up from 66% in 2017. And 81%, so that's about four in five, are satisfied with the energy efficiency. So very good scores there. So here we ask the question, how important would you consider it to one day be able to buy your own home? And for one in two tenants, they would consider it is important to be able to buy and own their own home one day. However, on the other side of the coin, 44% don't feel it's important to buy their own home one day. And we can really see the importance of buying their own home is considerably higher with younger cohorts. So that 18 to 45 year old group is close to 74%. And also amongst those that have kids, so that's as high as 77% there. And we also noticed that newer tenants, they were more likely to want to own their house in some time in the future. So now just looking at satisfaction rates with the local area services. So 20% are somewhat satisfied, 70% very satisfied, so 90 altogether, a bit of an improvement on the 2017 survey. In terms of opportunities to interact with communities, this has fallen back slightly, 74% down from 81% in 2017. However, this is most likely to be impacted by COVID with opportunities to interact with community lessons due to restrictions. Now looking at tenancy supports. So 21%, about one in five, receive support services from their landlord. So these support services are in relation to health, sustaining your tenancy, education, or personal development. In terms of the frequency of contact, there's about 15% that do it on a daily basis and 29% on a weekly basis. The rest are less frequently. And it's very much considered a really important support service that these housing associations are providing, with 95% considering it important and just 1% considering it unimportant. And there's almost universal satisfaction with the contact that they have. with their support worker. So 88% satisfied and 11% haven't had the interaction yet. And I think it was just 1%. It perhaps was just one person that wasn't particularly happy with the contact that they were having with their support worker. So again, this is really positive news. So here we're looking at satisfaction in relation to individual services. And just to explain the chart slightly, in blue in the navy here, it's that's amongst the total sample. And in purple here is those that received landlord support. So that 21% that I spoke about earlier. So as you can see across all the metrics here, they all are quite high. However, amongst those that actually received that additional, so one-to-one sort of support, they're more likely to evaluate these metrics slightly higher. But particularly good scores in terms of information and advice given, overall support, service, and monitoring health and well-being. These are all high enough scores. And perhaps the one that's just the lowest one is helping us establish social activities. And again, this would have been impacted, unfortunately, by COVID-19 and restrictions. So here we're looking at satisfaction rates with accessibility, and two-thirds are satisfied. So that's either very satisfied or just generally satisfied with accessibility. However, we do have 16% that are not necessarily satisfied with the accessibility to their home or housing scheme. And looking closely at the reasons for dissatisfaction, and it is very much just about wheelchair access, not having lifts or having lifts that aren't particularly working. So these are just areas which are the driving dissatisfaction in relation to accessibility. So now moving on to the tenancy support and COVID-19 experience. So here we ask the question, during the COVID-19 pandemic, how satisfied are you with the service provided by your housing association? And encouragingly, most tenants are satisfied with how things have been handled, so it's 77% being satisfied and just 9% not satisfied with the services during COVID. And the key thing is communication. So communication is the key driver for satisfaction, but it also is the key driver for dissatisfaction. So getting that right going forward is really important. In terms of driving satisfaction as well, 56% are saying they're happy with the protocols on health and safety, and just under half are happy with the additional supports. So again, it is just communication is the main thing, but just making sure that you are covering some of these mentions here as well. So here we're looking at, we asked the question during the COVID-19 period, how satisfied were you with the communication and updates from your housing association? So 8 in 10 satisfied with the communication with their housing association during COVID. But really positively, amongst the older, more vulnerable groups, 87% of those age 65 plus were satisfied with the communication from their housing association. So this is really positive as you know, this group is one of the more vulnerable groups, particularly during COVID. Now looking at just overall satisfaction with the housing association during COVID, how they dealt with any issues that arose. So 81% are satisfied. And in terms of like looking forward, how can they perhaps deal better with COVID, or what should they improve on going forward? And what came out in the verbatim is just providing more of a personal touch, particularly to vulnerable tenants. This really came out in some of the responses. And I'll just read out one of the responses here down the bottom. I think it covers this quite well. I think they need to do more for the elderly. Most elderly people that live here have no family. A coffee morning would do them good. Or would be good for them. So just again, just a bit of a personal touch going forward, it's really appreciated and it will definitely drive satisfaction going forward. So that's the majority of the research covered there. I will just do a quick summary now of our key findings. So satisfaction with housing associations is up since 2017. Communication and dealing with antisocial behaviour are key going forward. So satisfaction with overall services provided by the housing association is really high. 90% tenants are satisfied. Again, this is an improvement on 2017, but also it's top of the class when it comes to comparing with international benchmarks. The satisfaction with housing staff performance is in line with the high scores received in 2017. However, in dealing with antisocial behaviour, there still is room to improve there. Communication has been the biggest improvement since 2017, and this has been one of the key findings from this research. And then satisfaction with contact is up 8%, and then keeping tenants informed up 18%. So massive improvements there. However, there still is room for improvement, always is, in terms of communication, but particularly in terms of the clarity of comms and offering a variety of ways for tenants to provide feedback. There's been universal satisfaction with the services provided by support workers, so really positive there. And then potential to improve in helping to establish social activities is important going forward as well. The majority are happy with services provided during COVID-19, and communication is key to driving satisfaction moving forward. And then there also is just calls for more personal touch, particularly in relation to vulnerable tenants going forward. Okay, so that is the full report there. I'll be able to answer some questions. I know a few have come in, but I'll be able to answer them at the end of the event. Perfect.
Thank you, Sean. That's Sean Gildee there from Spark Research Company. Sean, thank you very much for that. Very, very detailed, very precise. I see 4 or 5 questions coming in there to you, which we'll take later on, if that's okay. Thank you for that. Okay, so there's a lot in that there. You can see the comparisons we've made as well to 2017, the last time we did a survey. And also you can see the comparisons that Sean has made from European standards. We'll hear more from Barbara on that later. Now we're going to move swiftly to two tenants have kindly agreed to come on today and to speak with us, and that's Tony and Claire. Tony, you're very, very welcome. And Claire, do I see Claire on the screen there as well? Claire, you're welcome also. So if we could just... If we could just have a quick word with Tony and Claire. Can I just ask you the question to start with, Tony, either one of you, Tony or Claire? You're very welcome. What do you think of the overall feedback of the survey there? What's your initial impressions?
Well, that's very positive, really. Increases in most of those situations, you know. And it's quite revealing to me because I hadn't appreciated the extent of the type of accommodation that's available around the country anyway.
Yeah. And Tony, how long are you with, you're with Tua, is that right?
Or Hale? No, I'm with Hale.
You're with Hale. So how long are you with Hale?
12 years.
12 years. And are you in step aside, is it?
That's right, yeah.
And are you there all that time?
Well, I have prepared some comments if you want me to. I wasn't quite sure exactly what you wanted, but anyway, maybe this sort of gives you a little bit of background.
Sure.
My comments would be confined to Hale because that's my experience, although we do have the public areas looked after by Clwyd, and they're very good as well.
Yes.
But if I can just sort of give you a little bit of background of myself. Next year, my wife and I celebrate our diamond wedding anniversary. Thankfully, we've never been homeless, and I've never been unemployed, but we have experienced hardship along the way. When Sheila was pregnant with our first daughter, we were living in an uninsulated 12-foot caravan with condensation running down the inside walls. And in the wintertime, Sheila was waking up with her hair frozen to the inside walls. In addition, I would have to boil a kettle to thaw the outside tap before going to work. Now, we never forget that situation. We're always reminded of it. We've never aspired to home ownership for several reasons. In the days when we would go for a mortgage, you had to save with a building society for 2 or 3 years before they would even talk to you. Another reason was I didn't like debt, but also living in rented accommodation gave me flexibility as my work took me from to different parts of the country. Now, we had good landlords, and our philosophy has always been, if we looked after the property, if it was as if it was our own, our landlords would look after us. And that was our experience. But then as I approached retirement, I began to wonder if I'd been wise. Rent seemed to be going up month by month. And my question I always asked myself was, if I died before Sheila, could she afford private rental? We had been on the local authority housing list for 7 years when we were introduced to Hale. Though it was sad, it was amazing that our landlord of 25 years had died and the house we were living in was being sold. Now, that was 12 years ago. That was the question you asked there.
Yeah.
So Hale really was an answer to both our prayers and it gave us security and peace of mind. Now, I might be teaching people to suck eggs here, but for those who may not know of Hale, they've been in existence 35 years. And Hale is an acronym, the Housing Association for Integrated Living. And I've often thought about why would a group of volunteers, which is what the board of management are, why would they get together to provide housing for needy and vulnerable people with the idea of integrating them into the community, which is really what Hale do? Now, the only answer that I can come up with is human kindness. And these people, Hale people, are good people. Hale cares for tenants as individuals and as people. Our experience is being treated by them as friends with respect and dignity. And that's by all the Hale staff that we come in contact with. Now, sometimes as companies grow, they become distant and less personal. Since we have known Hale grow from just a few to over 30 today, we've come to see that they still show that same individual care and concern. They have the Hale ethos in mind. And just finally, we now have a tenant forum so that tenants can input into management issues and recommendations. Now, COVID has slowed down that process, but as time goes by, I'm sure we'll see the benefits that come from that. In conclusion, what can we say as grateful tenants? Well, we couldn't have a better caring landlord. So as we lock our front door each night, we say, thank you, Jehovah, and thank you, Hale, for being who and what you are. Thank you.
Tony, thank you very much for that. And thank you for that's put together. That couldn't be clearer. And I'm sure that Hale will really appreciate that feedback. But I think it's warming for all of us, Tony, because the tenant has to be at the heart of what we're doing. And if they aren't, we might as well give up. And I know Martina and Patricia before, and Hale are a great organisation, and I'm delighted that you and Sheila have found a really good lifelong landlord now in Hale, and I wish you peace and best wishes in your retirement, and I'm delighted they also have you to keep the maintenance going on the place, Tony, and to keep it well. And I think that is a good philosophy. I lived in private renting myself at one point, and that was our philosophy too, that if we kept it well, our landlord would respond. And he did just that. And like you, I'm lucky now to have my own place that I can call home. And I want to thank you for sharing your and giving of your time today. Could I move to Claire then? Claire, you're with Tua.
I am, yeah.
You're very welcome. It's not easy to follow someone else, Claire, so I appreciate that. Yeah. You're probably raging that I went to Tony first and not you. So, but, you know, we take everybody's presentation, everybody's participation individually, and you're very welcome. I want to thank you for taking the time out. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey and your time with Tua?
Yeah, so I'm only here just a little over a year. And I lived in rented accommodation. I was on the RAS scheme. My landlord again sold. So I was lucky enough that the council had forwarded me to it. I have brilliant experiences. I was in, went for my interview, done my Garda vetting. The next day, my housing officer, Simone, rang me. I had the place. I was delighted. I'm in Lucan in an apartment in Shackleton, me and my two boys. And the place is fabulous. Like, I can't fault them one bit. It's so much space. There's two bedrooms. They're just like really, really top quality houses. Have everything in that I needed. Anything that I need off Simone, I just ring her. She gets it done. I had one incident that I needed to get my boiler fixed. You're literally out that night. They're just brilliant, just straight on. Anything to Simone is always in contact. Weather warnings, you get your little text messages. We had one incident again with the car park that was dealt with that night. They changed the fobs on the gate and stuff. It's brilliant. Anytime I email her, she comes back to me straight away. I just really can't fault them. I'm just so grateful that me and my boys have this place, and it's our home. It's brilliant.
Right. Well, thank you. And come here, I'm the CEO of an approved housing body, and I know Sean, the CEO of Tua, and they're a great organisation, and they do a fabulous job, and they have fabulous complexes. If you could speak to Sean right now and you wanted to give him advice as a CEO, is there anything that you weren't asked in the survey that you'd like to say? Like, if you had one moment with him, what would you say to him?
No, I'm actually delighted that the survey has gone well and that's getting more positive feedback. I didn't really actually realise there were so many housing bodies. I thought there was only three or four, just kind of what I hear from my area, but it seems to be growing and getting better.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Listen, Claire and Tony, I want to thank you both. Both Hale and Tua are fabulous organisations, and we're very proud to have them as members of the Irish Council for Social Housing. I'm so glad that you're happy in your tenancies, and we wish you every happiness and good health. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. It's really good for us all, I think, to get feedback. You know, I always say to our staff, you know, take the feedback. It's free. It costs us nothing. And there's always an opportunity to learn. So thank you very much, Claire. And thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce you now to our next speaker. I think it's very important as a council that we look outward as well as inward. So we share our experiences between Hale and Tua, Respond, Clwyd, ourselves, and lots of others. But it's also important to look outward and to look out internationally and to look to see what we can learn from across the waters. I think you get a measurement of looking at each other internally, first of all, to see, well, how is the Peter McCrae Trust doing in relation to other approved housing bodies? But then you have to go beyond, and I think it's very important to look internationally. We're very privileged today to have an international speaker who has given up her time to speak to us today. She has a fabulous resume. Her name is Barbara, and I have to pronounce this carefully now because I don't want to be shot. Steenburgen, Barbara Steenburgen has been committed to tenancy protection for over 19 years. Barbara started in 2001 as head of the presidential office for the German Tenancy Union in Berlin as political coordinator for energy policy and international affairs. In 2007, Barbara was appointed to the General Assembly of the International Union of Tenancies, the IUT. They elected her as the new head to found the IUT Liaison Office for the European Union in Brussels, where she speaks to us today. She established that office in 2008. In 2013, Barbara has been a member of the executive board of the IUT. Since 2020, she was elected vice president of tenancies for the Association of Housing in Bonn in Germany. She is responsible for political relations and representation of their interests in the European Tenancy Association towards the European Commission, the European Parliament, and the European Council. Barbara, just so you know, in Ireland, we have heard nothing but we've been just talking about Europe all day today on the radio and all day yesterday and the day before, because, as you know, the British Prime Minister is trying to deal, is trying to agree a Brexit deal with Europe, and that would have huge consequences for Ireland. So much of our goods are imported and exported and travel to Europe through Great Britain. So we've been watching very carefully what's going on in the European Commission, the European Parliament, and the European Council over the last week. So Barbara, you're very welcome. The floor is yours. You've about 15 minutes, Barbara, if that's okay.
Thank you very much, Pat. Thank you very much. And yes, thank you very much, everybody, for having me. Greetings from Brussels. We have a tough time, as you mentioned. But I think what I want to say first, before we come into tenants business, is I'm so happy that Ireland stays. I think this is the most important thing. We don't want to lose the islands. And I do think it was a very bad decision taken by the United Kingdom and Boris Johnson. He visited us in the last days here in Brussels. And I think he did a very bad negotiation. But let's come back to the crucial points. Yes, I'm representing the International Union of Tenants. We are 71 tenants organizations worldwide. I have 36 members all over Europe, so even beyond the European Union, which I am happy to represent here in Brussels. But actually, there is still a blind spot on my map, which is Ireland. So we do not have an IUT member from Ireland. And I hope this is going to change in the near future. And this was also the reason why I was very happy that you invited me to this tenant satisfaction survey, because I see this is something that you, as the Irish Council for Social Housing, is doing on a voluntary basis. And it is very important to talk to your tenants, to know what they want in order to do your job properly. In other countries, this is a more institutional dialogue. So we have there the tenants' associations. They are organized a little bit like trade unions. Huh? And we, as tenants' associations, at national, regional, or local level, we then negotiate with the landlords. So this is something like with the trade union and the employers. But we do not have this organizational form in Ireland yet. So I was very happy that you are starting this, a structured dialogue with your residents, because this is very crucial. And we heard it from Claire and from Tony that this is also very much appreciated and necessary. And we also have the proof from the survey you just did that the tenants really want to be involved. The question is now how to do it. What is the best form to do it? And I see this also in the questions and answers. that many, many of the people working for Irish social housing, they want to know how to actually engage better with the tenants, how to get the link to them, how to communicate. And me, that's not perhaps very surprising for everybody. I would always go for the institutionalized form. So I think it is very important that you, as landlords, help your tenants to organize themselves, to establish residents, tenants associations, and then also provide them with the information and the knowledge they need to negotiate with you, to talk to you, to know what's going on. Because I think it is always the best way. People know best how they want to have their area changed, where there are possibilities to improve services in the estate, but also outside. They also know best what is going on with their neighbors. If somebody is not well, if somebody lost his job and everything. And I think this is the best way to communicate them. And for you as landlords, it is also a very structured way. And it is also a very democratic way. Because normally in tenants and residents associations, the members are elected by all inhabitants of the estate. And so you have a democratic way of talking to each other. I can tell you some examples from countries where we have, say, a very, very strong institutional tenants participation. For instance, I give you the example of Denmark. In Denmark, the tenants are the boards of the housing associations. So they say, what is the next business step of the housing association? What investment should be done? I think this is a very far-going example. But we have other examples, for instance, from the Netherlands, where 70% of the inhabitants of an estate must say yes if their estate is going to be renovated, yes or no. And they have a very clear say and how it is renovated. How does the kitchen look like afterwards? How does the bathroom look like afterwards? What about the green areas surrounding the building? So these are very strong, let's say, means of tenants' participation. And I think it's very interesting to go on with that. So congratulations with the first step with the participatory, sorry. And I think perhaps next year, if we meet again, then we can see there are already the first residence associations in Ireland established. Perhaps another point, which is very crucial to have it on now, the pandemic. I have been provided with a lot of useful information before our session by Keelan. And one issue that was a little bit shocking me was there has been an eviction ban from the start of the pandemic in nearly every European country from March. But then it was more or less in many, many countries phased out in August. And now the social housing providers, they would, of course, not evict their tenants. This is important, but what is worrying me, what about the eviction ban for the private rental sector? Because the private rental sector in Ireland, it's, I think, much bigger, unfortunately, than the social housing sector. So what can we do to protect the tenants now in this pandemic? And I know from my experience from all the other European countries, it is not over now. The opposite is true. The people fall more and more into rent arrears because they lost their jobs. And this will be situation will be worse during the winter time and during the springtime. It is not over. So my question to you also, what can we do to protect the people in the private rental sector in the same way like they are protected in the social rental sector that you are representing here. So this is a start, and I'm happy to contribute more in the questions and answers and in the chat.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you for your contribution. We're delighted with the engagement, Barbara, and I hope it's the beginning of an ongoing engagement with the Irish Council for Social Housing. Our CEO, Donal McManus, is on line here today, as are a number of the staff and the council. So I'm hoping this engagement will grow and that we will begin to partner more. You're right, you know, listening to the tenants, you know, tenants know what they need. They know what's going on in their area. They know what the challenges and difficulties are. I think that's the challenge for us as providers, to make sure that we continue to listen. In relation to the pandemic here, we did have a ban on evictions, and that was lifted during the summer months, but we have got it back in here now. And what we have done with the minister here, thank God, is that we have linked the ban to every time there's a spike. So we don't have to advocate, we all expect another spike, for example, in January, February, after the Christmas season. And we won't have to lobby for it, we hope. It'll automatically come back in for that period. You're right, we do have a private rented sector here that's bigger than our approved housing bodies. Since 2015, we've been exceeding our targets in bills, new bills and new projects, and we've grown the sector, and we intend to continue to do that. And hopefully at some point when we're talking, the balance will have tipped in favour of housing associations and local authorities, local government, rather than private rented. But for now, that's a constant challenge for us, and particularly for those of us who work with vulnerable client groups where we don't have enough housing stock for them. We have to take them in to private rented. And Claire, who spoke there, the tenant from Tua, she came in from the private sector. So that's where we hope we get to, that we're taking more people in from the private sector as we go. We have a final few minutes for questions now, and I've a few questions to put to people here. I suppose the what's coming back to us, the feedback that's coming back, first of all, overwhelmingly, is a big thank you to Tony and to Claire. Words like "you are an ambassador for your organisation and for the sector" is coming back to us. So I want to feed that back to you, Tony, and to Claire, and to thank you for your contributions. The feedback is flooding in, how clear and precise you were in your feedback and how grateful we are to get it. Sean, there's a few questions coming back in for you. If you can come back on there now, Sean. Sean, there's a couple of obvious questions, and there's one for Keelan as well. I know that we provided you with the names and contact details from organizations that put forward tenants. Can I just pose, while you're getting yourself together, can I just pose a question to Keelan first, if she's there? Keelan, we've a question in there, you know, thanking us for the survey, but wondering why there was such a very low contribution from Connacht and Ulster. Do you want to take that first, Keelan?
Thanks, Pat. I suppose in terms of participation, we put a call out to all our members and to see who would like to participate in the survey. And I suppose just unfortunately, that's just the way it worked out in terms of the 16 housing associations that did participate. Ultimately, a lot of them were skewed towards Dublin with very little in the West. So, you know, we didn't specifically target housing associations in the West. We left it open to those that wanted to participate.
And Keelan, would it be true to say as well that probably, I'm assuming now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and do correct me, am I assuming that the ones that came back, the feedback that came back, were from organisations that had some level of administration staff that could gather that kind of, do their own survey to see would people take part? Is that true to say as well?
There is that element. I suppose there is an administrative burden on housing associations in terms of contacting their tenants to participate in it. So I suppose some of the smaller associations may not have had the resources to do that, particularly this year when resources were very stretched. So, but we did have a good range of size of housing associations across the three tiers. So we do have good representation from tier one, tier two, and tier three. Just unfortunately, the way it worked out, we had very few in the West.
Yeah. Thanks, Keelan, for that. Okay, Sean, there's a couple of questions coming in from you. And I'm summarizing now, so forgive me, people, if some of the questions are not as clear. Sean, you know, the total number of people that you were given, the total number of names you were giving was what again? What was the total number you were given?
I think we got about 900, maybe slightly over 900.
And you spoke to over 500?
We spoke to 504 tenants.
504. And, you know, I suppose the question, there's a number of small questions coming back around on a similar issue here, which is that how do you get to reach the hard to reach ones? I mean, you know yourself, some people are more available to speak. Some people are happy to speak more than others. Is there any other methods that, you know, we could reach out to? Like, I know our survey's goal to get 500 of 900 is good, but there's voices there who said they would take part, but, you know, we didn't necessarily capture them. If you were doing this again, is there ways in which approved housing bodies could help you and by other methods to capture those voices?
Yeah, there is among some tenants, they may not have a mobile phone, particularly elderly. So there is ways of doing face-to-face interviews as well. However, during COVID, that's not something that we're practicing at the moment. But that potentially is a way that you can get to the, you know, the difficult to access groups. However, we got an 83% response rate to those that answered, which is really high and significantly higher than what we got even back in 2017. And so we do think that the research is quite reflective of the general population in housing.
And there's a follow-on question from that. And again, I'm just putting what's coming to us here. You know, could the survey then be skewed? I mean, the survey is very, very positive. So, you know, when you get a positive survey like that, you always get a question, you know, to say, well, what if? And so could this survey be skewed because the 500 you captured were, you know, were easier to engage and therefore maybe more positive towards, can you assume that, that they're more positive towards the housing associations, or is that a miss?
I don't think you can necessarily assume that. What we tend to get in terms of it's sometimes it's quite both extremes. So you get those that really want to give feedback because they're not particularly positive about the performance of the housing association. And then you also get those that are really positive that want to. But so you do get both sides of it. It's not just those that are eager to give positive feedback.
Okay. There's another question here, Sean. I'm posing this to you again. That's okay. One commenter said an excellent survey, well done. But they just wanted to ask, was there any specific communication methods that were more popular with tenants than others? When housing bodies are trying to get back feedback, is there particular specific communication methods that are more popular with tenants? Did you get a feel for that?
Yeah, well, in the research, meetings and resident associations were the two that came out on top. We did give them options to, you know, to open-end options and please specify where they could provide other options. But the top two were just general meetings and resident associations setting them up. However, they do want a variety of different options depending on the sensitivity of the issue.
Okay, thank you. Just the last bundle then is, you know, is around, I was expecting if I hadn't read the survey that the two things that would come up was antisocial behaviour and also the issue of repairs and maintenance, you know, and the speed in which organisations respond. You heard Claire there saying that she rang to about her boiler and they were out the same evening. when it came to the repairs and maintenance, which can often be an anxious time for people, you know, some people get anxious about wanting to get something fixed. What was the general mood of those who answered that around the repairs and maintenance?
Yeah, so we did have an open-ended question where we looked at improvements that can be made. Mm-hmm. And one of the themes that did come out is that in relation to maintenance and repairs. And the majority of that was, they were quite specific in their requests, and also just they wanted clarity. So I've raised this issue, when will it be done? And when can I have fixed the issues? Getting the clarity of communication is really important. And then secondly, actually getting someone out to do it as fast as possible is really important. That's what people are looking for.
Thank you. And then the next area, Sean, is around, as we predict as well, antisocial behavior. It's always a concern for people, and you know, people want to live in harmony with their neighbors, and people want to feel safe in their homes and their communities. So in relation to antisocial behavior, were you able to drill into any of that, anything around that? Was there anything in specific raised in relation to antisocial behaviors? Was that being picked up? I know in the trust that in one of our estates that we've had additional reporting of antisocial behavior during the pandemic, and we put that down to more people being at home during the day, more people looking out the window and surveying their community more. And I was just wondering, what was your general feel about that? What were you hearing back from those who took part in relation to antisocial behavior and the challenges for approved housing bodies around that?
I guess the big thing that did come out, now we got a lot of specific feedback on this, which I can't say too much about, but we did get a lot of people just looking for actions, tougher actions to be made. Okay. to thwart it and also just to get rid of sort of the troublemakers or those that are perhaps just make it just feel a bit safer for people. So there's some people looking for extra CCTV cameras, that type of thing. And also just the timeliness of responding to antisocial behavior as well. And that's really important for tenants.
And the tenants feel that, when they report antisocial behavior, did landlords engage, and did they help them develop an understanding of how challenging it is to manage such issues? Was anything on that?
We did get some responses in relation to some complaints, I reported this and nothing happened, that type of thing, or they came down and they did nothing, but there was, just to bring back your other point that you made earlier, you know, people are noticing things more, and there were some complaints about just kids running around, that type of thing, which it's in their nature to do and make a bit of noise. But they're probably only noticing it for the first time now during the pandemic. So a lot of complaints were in sort of things that can't necessarily be changed. They're just part of living with amongst other people.
Okay, well, Sean, thank you very much for them. I know I threw a lot at you there. And thank you, Sean, for your response. Barbara, can I pose a question to you finally, just before we go? You have a vast experience, Barbara, of representing tenants in Europe. Your feedback on our survey, I mean, your overall impression of our 2020 survey, what you said, how are we rating in relation to our colleagues in Europe?
I think you did a very, very good job. I think you can be very pleased about the survey. And you heard it also from Tony and from Claire. I think everybody is happy to live in your estate. We do know that this is the overall experience in Europe, that the social housing estates are more well maintained than the private housing. So again, you are the top runners. You are a role model for the entire sector. And I think it is very important that your tenants gave you the feedback. We want to talk to you. We want to have personal meetings, as Sean said. We want to have even a residence association. And I think this is very good. These are the first democratic structures that are coming now, and the people want to organize themselves And I think this is the best way. You see that people like to live in their area. You see that people want to take care of their area. And the more they do it, the less you have problems with antisocial behavior. So it's really a win-win situation for you now, guys. Take this chance. Try to set up residence associations. Try to meet your tenants as much as possible. They will like it, obviously. And again, here from Brussels, I really hope we are more in contact with Ireland. We want to have a more structural tenants organization in Ireland. And I think you are the good partner to start with it. So again, big pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Barbara. We've just one more question and then we're going to wrap the session up. And this is back to Sean. Again, Sean, great feedback, thanking all the speakers. Great feedback from our tenants there as well. Sean, was there any particular feedback where residents talked about their preference for the type of accommodation that approved housing bodies should provide and additional services that they should also provide?
We had, I guess, we didn't ask specific questions about that. We wanted to keep it as short as possible to get the response rate up as much, but we did give them opportunities to open-ended questions to respond to those. In terms of preference for housing, there were a few comments about, you know, there's been an addition to the family and they want a bigger house or they want a bigger apartment. There were a few issues like that. But overall, we didn't capture too much in terms of housing preference.
Okay.
In terms of services, there didn't seem to be too many that they were looking for. Again, I think going forward and during the COVID pandemic, they would like just more of a personal touch and more, I guess, call-in visits to more vulnerable people.
Well, thank you for that, Sean. Keelan, can I just ask one more thing of you, if I can? Keelan, will Sean's presentation be available on the Irish Council website after today? Can we arrange that?
Yeah, we can. So the report, the full findings report is available on our website at the moment. And we can certainly circulate Sean's presentation and we'll look at putting it on the website as well.
Thank you, Keelan. Well, listen, we're 9 minutes over time. I want to finish at 10 past. So it just leaves me to say a very big thank you to Sean for carrying out this survey on our behalf and giving us an excellent presentation. I want to thank Claire and Tony for giving of their time and their experience and their feedback. We deeply appreciate it. And you as tenants are at the heart of what we do. And we hope that may long be the case. I want to thank Barbara for joining us from Brussels. Barbara, thank you so much for giving us that international flavour. I hope it's the beginning of a relationship with the Irish Council for Social Housing. And I know that Donal has always been keen to look outward as well as inward. So thank you, Barbara, for that. Keelan, I want to thank you again for all you do and all your colleagues behind the scene, Aideen, Karen, so many of them. And I don't want to leave anybody out, Kevin, Ken, so on. Catherine, I'm really there, Mairead, and I know you lost a colleague very recently there, and you have our deepest sympathies for that. But I want to thank you for the excellent job you've done yet again on pulling this together and overseeing it and coordinating on behalf of the Irish Council for Social Housing. This is exactly what we need to be doing for our members. And the survey is only the beginning of it now. Now what we need to do is, you know, wade our way through this now, see what learning we can have, share it with our local authority colleagues, share it with our councillors, and make sure that the length and breadth of the country that we're seeking as much feedback from our tenants as possible. Aidan, I want to thank you as well for coordinating us. I know I'm not easy, and I know I was late coming online this morning, so thank you for that. And then finally, I want to thank all those who have taken part. We were up close to 60 at one stage there on this webinar, and I think we still withheld 44 people with us today. I want to thank those who put forward the questions and provided the feedback. So on behalf of myself as President of the Council, Donald, the CEO and all the team, thank you for your participation today. Stay safe and stay well and have a very happy Christmas. Thank you.